Welcome to installment 107 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments from the laws of oath. Prohibition number 248, not to make a false denial of a debt or having been given an object for safekeeping. And prohibition number 249, not to make a false oath confirming this false denial. The Rambam list of prohibition number 248 is derived from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 11. The verse states, "V'lei sechachashu," that one should not deny. In this case, the denial which is spoken of is the denial of a pikadon. Let's say, for example, that the Reuven is going away on vacation and leaves an article by Shimon that Shimon should wash this article. In Hebrew, this is known as a pikadon, or something which is left to be guarded for safekeeping. When Reuven comes back from his vacation, of course, he wants to get his article back. He asks Shimon, "Please return it." And Shimon claims, "What? You never gave me anything." This denial of the rightful claim of Reuven is what is prohibited under this verse, "V'lei sechachashu." This denial in and of itself is a biblical prohibition. Let's say the case should come to a Jewish court and Shimon must take an oath, a shavua, that he has not really been given anything by Reuven. Should he make an oath saying that Reuven never gave him anything, and this oath is of course a false oath, in that case he would be transgressing a second prohibition, which is the second one of today's portion, transgression number 249. Which is also from the same verse. The verse states, "V'lei sechakru ish b'misei," that one person should not lie to another. In this case, our sages teach us that the lying, the falsehood spoken of over here, is the falsehood uttered in an oath, in a shvua. And therefore, by denying the rightful claim, one has transgressed one prohibition. By taking a false oath, one has transgressed a second prohibition. It should be pointed out that this is independent of the prohibition against taking a false oath that we discussed a few days ago. Any false oath is prohibited by the Torah, that one did something or one did not do something, for example. However, when one makes a false oath in connection with a pikadon, with an article left for safekeeping, in such a case, one is transgressing two biblical prohibitions. Therefore, in this case, a person would eventually be transgressing three biblical prohibitions. One for the original denial of the claim, a second prohibition for making a false oath in general, and a third prohibition for making the particular type of false oath that is mentioned in today's prohibition 249 of making a false oath in connection with such a claim of a pikadon or an article left for safekeeping. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam quotes the Sifra, a writing of a rabbinical work dating back to the times of the Mishnah. The Sifra discusses these two mitzvahs in connection with another passage at the beginning of the book of Leviticus. There, in the section of the sacrifices, in chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, and the following verses, discusses the Asham offering, or a guilt offering, and it discusses how such an offering comes into being. The verses discuss various types of falsehood, such as robbery, involving business deals, withholding funds, and also our case of an article left for safekeeping. The verse states that if a person swears falsely in any of these cases, he incurs a certain punishment. In fact, the verse says the person must first of all pay back the money which is owed. Second of all, he must add on one-fifth, 20% of the value of the object. And thirdly, he must bring an asham, a guilt offering, in connection with this falsehood. The Rambam quotes the Sifra, which says that these verses teach us the punishment which is connected with such a falsehood. However, as in all commandments in the Torah, we have a separate verse indicating the prohibition, azhara, and then another verse indicating the punishment. In this verse, the Sifra points out, one has only the punishment. Where do we learn that the act itself is prohibited? That is learned from the verse we are discussing today. V'leisa chachashu, says the Sifra. This teaches us that one may not deny a rightful claim. And this is our prohibition 248. The Sifra continues and says, how do we know that the oath for which one incurs a punishment is also prohibited? The punishment must go together with a prohibition. Where do we learn the prohibition from? And Sifra quotes the verse we discussed previously. V'leisa shakru ish bamise. People must not lie one to another. The Sifra points out that this is in connection with making a false oath in such a pikadon or an article left for safekeeping. Therefore, we learn out the punishment and also separate verses as a prohibition for each of these two things, denying that the article was left and making an oath that the article was not left. The Rambam also points out that the fact that the mere denial is a separate prohibition is evident from the laws of witnesses. That if a witness has done any particular sin, he is disqualified from being a witness. The Rambam mentions that someone that has denied that he has been left a pikadein, or such an article, is automatically disqualified as a witness, as it says in the Tractate Shavuos. Therefore, we learn that this in and of itself is a prohibition. The commentaries have little to say about these mitzvahs. The reason is that these are things which are obviously necessary in order that society should run in a proper manner. These come under the category of mishpatim, of laws that even if the Torah had not been given, we would know to fulfill these things ourselves. It's interesting to note that when the Rebbe Nishmaseden, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe Lubavitch, used to quote the saying of the Talmud, that even if the Torah had not been given, we would still know to fulfill them, he would say, Chas v'sholem, that even if the Torah had not been given, and under his breath he would say, God forbid, Chas v'sholem. Then we would learn modesty from a cat, and so on and so forth, as the Talmudic passage describes. Nevertheless, the commentaries point out that even though we know these laws by ourselves, even had they not been commanded to us, we would know to fulfill them, nevertheless, they are stated in the Torah to teach us that our observance of these laws is not based on our own intellectual understanding. This is one of the reasons why in the Ten Commandments we have such obvious laws as not to kill and not to steal. One of the explanations is that since we must fulfill the commandments not because we merely understand that it's correct to behave that way, we must fulfill all of the commandments because God has commanded us. And therefore this takes us out, as Chassidus explains, it takes our behavior out from the mere human realm of behavior. We are actually behaving in a godly fashion, because we are not doing things according to our own understanding. We are doing things in order to fulfill God's commandment. And therefore, as the word mitzvah comes from the root savsa v'chibur, a connection, we are connecting ourselves with God by fulfilling the commandment. We are not merely doing it because of our own understanding.
Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.